Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for your architecture firm. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Andrew Mikael, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. Excited. Finally get to talk to each other after so many years reading the blog and commenting and talking online. It's nice to have a conversation together.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a very long time you and I have known each other online. We've communicated online. We've contributed with one another from the very beginning of Entree Architect. You've been part of the community. And so first of all, thank you. Thank you for being part of the community and contributing to it and helping other architects. Way back, I think 2017, you wrote an article on the blog about the best books you recommend for future architects. That's in the blog. We'll actually link to that for anybody. I know it's probably a little bit outdated today, but it's still valuable to many future architects. So we'll link to that on the show notes. Let me introduce you to anybody who may not know you. Andrew's been making dreams come true for over 20 years as an architect. He aims his work at creating luxury of the senses. This luxury is made up of imbibing everyday activities with a sense of wonder, delight, and ease. His clients have consistently given him the highest ratings for artistic design and exemplary customer service. He's an architect, an interior designer, and he's the president-elect of the Olympic and West Sound chapter of the NKBA, which is the National Kitchen and Bath Association. For architects providing services for kitchen and bath design, NKBA membership is an invaluable asset for architects. It offers a comprehensive platform for professional growth and networking, market visibility. There's lots of benefits and value to being a member of NKBA. And Andrew and I were talking a little bit offline leading up to this podcast, and he had mentioned that he has recently become the president-elect, and you know, he's been involved in NKBA and wanted to share the value of that organization for architects who are involved in designing kitchens and baths. And I thought it'd be a great conversation here to share that information with you all today. But before that, as usual, Andrew, I would love to learn your origin story. How did this all start? When did you discover your passion to be an architect, and who or what inspired you to get started?
Way back in the late 19th century, 20th century, the late 1900s.
Way back.
When telephones had cords that were all twirly. You know, architecture really surprised me. I remember watching like This Old House, and you know, probably you were in the area, you probably saw that kind
sure,
of stuff.
Sure, yeah, one of my favorites.
And so, you know, the real hands-on part of building was, like a lot of people, what I imagined architecture to be. And I didn't have a lot of I had one uncle who was an architect, you know, and he always gave the best Christmas presents. It was always a pile of books and like a Hess truck. And I always loved that. But, you know, going into architecture school, like it was a surprise, because I thought it was, you know, more of the technical side of things, more, you know, I was looking at it through the lens of construction. And very early on, you know, I went to NJIT in New Jersey for undergrad. So jumping right in, you know, it's 17, 18. And to see it in a completely different sense, that it was like not a metaphor, but it's like it is you. There's so much of whatever you put into it, you get out. And it's so much more than just a representation of something. It can really change your life and shape your life. And so that was a real eye-opening epiphany for me and something that's carried me really my whole life since then. And trying to do whatever it is I'm doing, create something that, you know, taps into that feeling that it's more than just the technical side. It's more than just the dreamy side or materials or the picture of something, but there's a lot more depth that can be found in there. And it's the hard part, but it's also the really fun part of it all.
Do you remember the moment when you discovered that? That realization?
First semester, first year. It's hard to really put a finger on it. But I mean, it was really the first thing that I was ever passionate about was architecture. And so just finding something that you're passionate about is exciting in life.
Do you know what introduced you to architecture? Do you know who inspired you to move in that direction?
No. You know, like a lot of us, I was playing Legos as a kid. And,
sure.
And so that is an influence, but there's millions more people who play Legos than become architects. But yeah, I remember just sitting there as a kid with these little things and creating something and like creating a scenario and imagining how this person lives and changing it around that.
What did you do once you graduated college?
Once I graduated, I was working in a nice firm in New Jersey and we're working on schools. And I remember kind of wanting more from it. It's that feeling I think a lot of architects get when you jump out, because then suddenly you're not working on yourself. And I think that was another one of those really interesting parts of the architecture education. You know, people give it a lot of grief for not being technical enough or not practical enough, but I loved it because it was developing yourself in a way of thinking. But then when you go into the real world and you're doing, you know, stair details and bathroom details, it's a shock. And so I was like, I wanted to do something different. And I wanted to honestly just dive into the working on firms that are doing more expressive work. And I found out really quickly that they were only hiring graduates of Ivy League schools. And it was an experience that, you know, friends of mine were having too, where I had a friend who, you know, was interviewing with Richard Meyer and even with him personally. And basically they didn't hire her because she didn't have an Ivy League degree. And it's like, okay, well, I guess I got to go get an Ivy League degree. And I went to Penn and I loved it there. It was a completely different experience than NJIT, where I say, like, you know, one is like boot camp. It's easy to get in and it's hard to get out. Like they're trying to weed people out. And then grad school kind of felt like a country club. Like it's harder to get in, but they're not really trying to weed people out because there was only like 10 of us anyway. So who are they going to weed out? But that was a great experience. And I got to study with Cecil Bauman, who was just an amazing thinker. And Winka Double Down was really awesome. And from there, then I got a job working for Moshe Safdie in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And that was, I guess it was exactly what I wanted and needed. I mean, it was a very design intensive firm and, you know, people in their early 20s, you know, the face of the firm might be older people, but it was really an engine run by these like mid 20s people. And I learned something from a coworker there early on, thankfully, that it's like not to sit around and wait and ask for or to hope that I get to do XYZ, but just start doing it. And then that started happening where I started, oh, I want to work on this thing. And I start doing it. And then, oh, Andrew's doing that. And it was kind of a funny experience that worked.
That's a good tip for young architects.
Yeah, don't sit around and wait. There's always somebody who wants you to do more and to take on more. You make mistakes, but at least you're diving into it. And that's all people can ask for. I know if I hire somebody and they're doing that, then I'm going to be happy and, you know, they'll learn. Yeah. And we got to work on really exciting projects. I was working on a theater, on a museum, and most of the time on the Marina Bay Sands, which was a huge project that took me to Southeast Asia. And while that was really exciting, that sort of set the stage for like the level of work that I wanted to be doing and like the level that people took things. It was a very high quality level and very rigorous. And I needed that. And the thing that I wanted to do, which is what I always wanted to do, was have my own practice. And the thing that was missing was a direct connection to my clients. So, you know, I was in a firm that obviously wasn't, you know, my name on the door or anything, but there was a big distance between what you were doing in your work and the client. And, you know, often I wasn't even in the design meeting, but you're producing something and you're hearing back. And so that was something that I was really yearning for and wanting to start my own practice and taking on smaller, you know, projects that I could really get my hands around, but have that connection with the client and do it at a level that was being done at that high level. So it's like not stooping down to the competition, because there's a lot of, you know, not architects, but, you know, the Joe Blow design build or whatever competition that you have is much lower than what an architect can do. And so I wanted to keep that level high, to have my own business and my own design work really coming from that angle.
Did you stay in Cambridge or did you move?
No. So even when I was taking my exams, you know how you have to have it for a state. I don't remember if it was New York or New Jersey, which was where I like registered for. I think it was New York. But in either case, it was one of those two where I knew I wanted to be. And so I started my firm in New Jersey and I was doing some New York work, and it kind of went one year. It was like 80-20 New Jersey, New York, and then it flipped and it never went back. And then I opened an office, got some office space in New York City and the Lower East Side. That was really exciting. Hired a couple of people there and really never looked back. I mean, it's been almost as long as you've had Entre Architect. I've been an entrepreneur architect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I started like a year after, you know, you started. So yeah, I'm so grateful to that, because once I started on my own, there were all those questions. With one of the books on that list, it's, oh man, I forget which one it is, but it's like the one where you starting your own business and you go from being a technician.
Yeah. The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like that was such an important book because it really just hits a nail on the head where we're not the best marketers or business people, or, you know, but we have to learn all those things. And it was nice to know that everybody else needs to learn those things too. Like the baker doesn't know how to run a bakery.
Yeah.
They just love baking.
Where in New Jersey were you based?
I started in Hoboken.
So right across the river from New York City.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like right there in that area. But, you know, yeah, I was going all around New Jersey starting out.
And you're based in New York City today?
No. So then we moved right, you know, December 2019, we moved to Washington State.
Oh.
So
in a new world.
Completely new world, starting over. But yeah, we just were visiting and just kept visiting and like, this place is so beautiful. It's really the most beautiful part of the country, I think. And
so you're in Seattle now?
Yeah, a little bit south of Seattle, maybe an hour's drive south.
Which would explain your Olympic and West Sound chapter of the NKBA.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
not New York City.
Not the Manhattan chapter.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful place to be. Having the kind of local business, and my wife is a musician, and she's always performing in New York, still does. She just travels for it. You know, it felt like we were going to be New Yorkers for life. Then the pregnancy test comes, and you start thinking of life in a different way.
And you got out just in time, just before the pandemic.
Yeah. You know, 1 month, everybody's telling us we're crazy and why would we ever leave? And then a month or two later, people are like, oh, you guys are geniuses.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I moved around the same time to North Carolina.
Yeah.
In the summer of 2019.
Yeah. And you start having different hobbies, right? Like now I can't imagine life without gardening, vegetable gardening. You know, and I lived in Harvard Square. I was reading more than I ever did. Yeah, North Carolina is a nice place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, we like it a lot.
You don't have to shovel any snow.
No.
It's the same here. We don't have to shovel the rain.
Let's take a quick break to say thank you to our sponsors for their support of this episode. As an architect or firm owner, you might find yourself swamped with drawings that take up most of your day, leaving you with little time to manage your business. MGS Global Group can lighten your load by handling all of your drafting and rendering needs. Their experienced team of architects and designers can convert your schematic designs into DDs and CDs with minimal supervision. With expertise in industry-leading tools like Revit, ARCHICAD, and more, MGS is the perfect partner for managing your project spikes and urgent tasks. They work as an extension of your team and follow your standards to ensure the quality and accuracy of your drawings. Having served sole practitioners, small firms, and publicly traded companies since 2008, MGS guarantees you get the help you need right when you need it. Visit mgsglobalgroup.com and book your free consultation today. That's mgsglobalgroup.com. ARCHAT's Spec Wizard is the tool that will help you save time writing specifications. Going through the manufacturer's specification line by line to find the right product leads to frustration and errors, and that's where Spec Wizard comes in. It's a free, patented tool that allows you to select products and options error-free and generate a three-part specification in minutes. Go to ARCHAT.com, that's ARCHAT.com, and try Spec Wizard today. So how did you get involved with NKBA?
So I had a project. It was in New York. I call it Modern Nostalgia. And it was a small apartment design that really focused around the kitchen. Client, he worked from home before everybody else was working from home and loved to bake and cook. And, you know, it was this junior one bedroom apartment that we wanted to make it something special and really make the kitchen something special. And it was just a project that got a lot more attention than anything else that I had done. And it won a design competition that was like New York City based, NYCX design, and gotten some good press. And I started looking for other places to put it. And I found the NKBA Design Awards. And I was like, oh, this is cool. And there's actually a cash prize. Like, that's even better. So I joined the NKBA to enter this project. And it was funny because before that, the NKBA I thought was just some association for kitchen showrooms because that's all that I had ever kind of associated it with. And that really hasn't been the case since like the 60s, but I didn't know that. So I entered that competition. I placed, I was the second place for small kitchens. So, you know, we went to Orlando for the award ceremony. And it was there I met somebody. This woman comes up to me. She's like, oh, you're in Olympic and West Sound chapter. And I'm like, I wasn't even sure which chapter I was in. Like, I think so. Or is it Puget Sound? Like, I don't know. And she was the president. And like, we had never met because I joined, but it was so like rapid, one thing after the other, that I hadn't been involved in. I wasn't getting emails about, meetings or anything, or didn't notice them. I don't know. So we hadn't even met yet. And so I started going to all the meetings, and it was just a great group of people and a rounded group of people. You know, so there's designers of different sorts, and there's showroom people and fabricators and all sorts, which was really cool. And I guess the way I got into being the president is I was at one of these meetings and the president kind of were chatting. And she's like, what do you think about being president? Because I've been president for 5 years and I'm looking, and I'm like, really crazy. Like, I'm not even an officer or this or that. I just like, no, I think you can, you know, you could do it and have the whatever it takes. And, you know, I have very little experience in those sort of a thing, like just enough to know like the motion and second and all that. But I was like, all right, well, why not? It was one of those things where like, okay, why not? Why don't I just dive into it? It's a new experience and it can be fun. And, you know, I started sitting in on the council meetings and you nominate and I got it. And we just started, I guess my role is started January 1st. And we have a cool plan because, you know, like we said, we're not in a big city, but we have a big region, our particular region. And we're looking at bringing lots of different people together. The designers, the fabricator, there's so many people making cool things around us. Like there's metal workers and furniture makers and all sorts of people like that. So that's part of our chapter goal for the year is to bring people like that together. A lot of them are just kind of hidden there. So, you know, as an architect, I think a lot of architects would be interested in NKBA, you know, if you're working on homes. It's a different thing than AIA. You could do both. I think AIA has a lot of great benefits for architects. But it's also, in my opinion, very driven towards the commercial side of architecture and for the bigger firms. And I think, you know, like the small firm architect that we're talking about, most of us are doing residential work, that it's a great association to be a part of because it's not all architects, which is nice on the business development side.
What are the benefits specifically for architects? Because, you know, we're talking to, and you know, you're a small firm architect. You're talking to people who are super busy, got lots of responsibilities. They don't have a lot of time. Why would they invest their time with an NKBA membership?
Well, you know, I've invested not a lot of time so far. And, you know, I've been referred business and gotten business working with people on their projects.
Yeah, and that's a great reason when you're working. Well, if you're working with an organization where it's not just architects, right? And they are fabricators and designers and, you know, all the different trades that are involved with kitchens and bathrooms, many of them need an architect to do the projects that they're doing. And so if you are the architect they know, you could potentially could get a lot of referral through that organization.
Yeah, that's a great point. That right off the bat is there for you. The design competition happens every year and there's cash prizes. I mean, I can't think of another design competition that does that. And you get press throughout the year from it.
So that's a marketing and exposure opportunity.
Yeah. And there's lots of architects that are designing cool kitchens and baths. Like, you know, if I knew about that 10 years ago, I think I could have placed in several of them.
Do they do any sort of research or education that architects can learn how to design better?
Yeah. So there's a great planning guidelines book, which I use to reference when I'm working on a kitchen or a bathroom project. There's always continuing education. KBIS is a lot like AIA when it comes to, there's a lot of seminars. And
the convention, right? That's a...
Yeah, so this the kitchen and bath show, which also for architects is really nice because they're partnered with the International Builders Show. And so those two are happening in the same place at the same time. So, you know, for me going there, I'm seeing new products in kitchens and baths, and I'm seeing construction products and methods. So that is like a total package for me. And it's cool being around other architects and seeing other things and talking to other architects, but I like that just because I'm seeing the things that are relevant to what I'm working on. So the business development side, the competition, you know, marketing side.
And I think they have a certification as well, right? They have a kitchen.
They do have certification. There's an architect who, he also was a winner in that same design competition as me that same year. And he gave a talk at our NKBA chapter retreat this past October. And he has all those certifications. And so it was Doug Walter, and he's in AIA as well. So I was like, Doug, you've got all these certifications, but you know, you're an architect. Like, is it worth it as an architect to do that? You know, and I don't want to just quote him on it because maybe he has, you know, different ideas about it. But basically what we were saying was, well, you know, it doesn't add a lot of maybe knowledge. Maybe it's not the more knowledge, but it's better. It's like all the letters that we have at the end of our name.
Yeah, it shows credibility and authority and recognition.
It does. I mean, on the flip side of that, there is some benefit to having that specialized knowledge because you can really bungle a kitchen. And then you're bungling like, you know, $100,000 to $200,000, $300,000 part of a house.
Right.
Somebody who I did basically a feasibility study for, and she ended up not hiring me as an architect, but then emailing me, her project was almost done, like, oh, give me some advice on like how to, you know, make this better or whatever. And I was just looking at it and I was like, well, you know, there's like fundamental problems. You're not going to like this kitchen because of X, Y, Z. And she didn't want to hear it because the cabinets were being installed this week. I'm like, well, it's too late.
Yeah.
I don't know how to judge it up for you when you got like fatal flaws in your kitchen. So there's benefits to, you know, that kind of knowledge. I don't know if I would do that certification or not because it's time consuming. As an architect, you skip the line in, you don't have to do any kind of prerequisite, whatever they call it. It's like, you know, just like the way you sit before you can sit for an architect's exam. So you could just take the test, which I'm sure, you know, with a little bit of homework, any architect who works on kitchens and baths would probably ace it.
You have any interesting projects coming up?
Yeah, you know, I've got materials all in front of me for a house renovation I'm doing with a kitchen in the center of it. And that's shaping up really nicely. And again, it came from the wife is cooking every day and she's in this, it was an architect designed house, which is really cool. And so it's a nicely designed house, but it's built in the 60s when people didn't care too much about kitchens. It was kind of cordoned off.
Right.
And now it doesn't work for their lifestyle, which, you know, she can't see her husband, she can't see her kid, you know, guests. And we were redesigning it into, I don't know if I want to use her name, but we'll call it Jane. I'll give her the name Jane. Jane's Panopticon. So it's like she's in the center. I don't know if that, how she's going to respond to Panopticon once you find, you know, not that she's a prison warden by any means, but like, she's going to have the best view. And that house has a nice view of the water, but you don't have it from the kitchen. So it's changing everything around. And I've been using the NKBA guidelines, which have been helpful to making sure that it's something that works. But again, I'm having so much fun with it right now because it's trying to find the materials and the texture that work with the architecture of the house that are modern and clean and going to just give it the right feeling. And so it's like, you know, it's in that fun stage of.
I love designing kitchens. You know, the mechanics of it and the fact that they're the heart of the house. I mean, there's so many pieces to it. And if you get it right, it can be a really special place that really impacts the lives of the people who live in that house.
Yeah.
And so when we were designing additions and alterations, almost every project we did had a kitchen. And we really started to become known for the kitchens that we were designing because of that, right? Because every project that we did, we had them. So everything in the portfolio had a new kitchen. And we just really loved designing them. They're fun to design.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you've got all these different, you know, palette of materials that you could work with, and it can change so much, you know, depending on the client. Do they want to throw a party? You know, like, are they people that throw parties and get it catered? Are there people that really, you know, are in there cooking every single day? And it's an interesting challenge when you got someone that cooks all the time, but you don't want to have that, it smoke out the house, and you want it to be something gorgeous and that blends in with the house without, you know, the phrase I use is without feeling kitcheny, like, because when you have that aspect of the open kitchen, but not feeling you're thrown into a utilitarian space, kind of like
right,
crammed up against the living room or something like that. So it's a puzzle. And when you get it right, it really sings and it's a lot of fun. I'm just staring at all these materials. Like, I want to dive into it.
As we wrap up here, Andrew, I want to ask you the question that I ask all my guests to get your feedback and your thoughts on this. What would you say is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Well, I think you have to be really specific in what it is you want that tomorrow to be. And then, you know, it's that phrase, begin with the end in mind. And so to work backwards from that and to hold on to that, whatever that is for you. Again, it's one of those things that's so interesting to me about architecture, because it can be so many things and it can take on so many colors. So it's like whatever you want architecture to be for you, it can be, but you just have to define it. And then the path that you take to that, it almost will, it'll tell you what you need to do then. So defining that and holding on to that, I think, is the most important thing. Because otherwise, you can go in so many directions. And I've taken a lot of detours. Sometimes when I've lost track of what I want it to be or how I wanted the business to be. So,
yeah. And having that vision helps when that happens, right? That if you have a vision of where you want to go, when you have those opportunities to make a change or to take a different path, you can look at that vision and say, okay, do I want to go there or do I want to take this path, right? And make that an intentional decision so you're not just wandering through the wilderness trying to find something that you don't know what you're looking for.
Exactly. Or you get like the shiny, what is it, shiny object syndrome, because there's always
right,
somebody who's going to be successful doing something. And, you know, whether it's different media, like marketing mediums or tools or ways of working, ways of presentation. It's endless. And I'm telling myself that as much as I'm telling the audience.
Yes.
Because I have to keep reminding myself that. You could get lost in it. And that's part of why we're entrepreneur architects, because we want to have control of those things and pick those things. But you also don't want to be a slave to it or just let it run you ragged because you're running around after the next coolest thing.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. And it can change. We all change, but I mean, I've been doing this for a long time now on my own, and that end goal is still pretty much the same.
Yeah. His name is Andrew Mikael, and you can learn more about Andrew at andrewmikael.com. We'll have a link to that on the show notes. Andrew, thank you. Thanks for sharing your story, sharing your journey, sharing a little bit about NKBA and the value that it has for architects. I appreciate you. I appreciate you for being part of this community for so long and sharing your knowledge throughout the years, but also for coming on here today and sharing your knowledge at Entre Architect Podcast.
Mark, it's my pleasure. I'm so happy to talk to you, and thank you for everything that you've done.
You're welcome.
For us. You've been there for architects for so long, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for saying that. If you liked this episode of Entre Architect Podcast, please share a link with a friend. That is the best way to help us grow. And that's how we have grown to serve thousands of architects just like you. Share a rating, write a review, but most important, share a link to this episode that you just listened to. Go send it off to a friend. I'd really appreciate it. Thank you to all our sponsors for this episode. Links to the sponsors and all the resources that we discussed today in today's episode, they're all found at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entree Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network, the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community and beyond. You can now earn continuing education credits for listening to this podcast. Entree Architect Podcast select episodes are available for continuing education credit. Go learn more at gablemedia.com/members. And if you are a small firm architect, listen up, architects. Join us today at Entree Architect Network, the worldwide organization for small firm entrepreneur architects. That's you, with monthly business training, business resources, special session webinars, mastermind groups, and a thriving community of small firm architects. Your peers are there. Hundreds of them are there already. We will provide you with the support and the encouragement that you need to succeed. Hey, and this is super exciting. This is new, coming in 2024, Entree Architect Coaches. Yes, finally, after all these years, business coaching for small firm architects. It's coming to Entree Architect Network in early 2024. Join us. Try Entree Architect Network for free for 30 days. It's free for 30 days. Visit network.entrearchitect.com to learn more. That's network.entrearchitect.com to learn more. Try it. Come join us. Try it for 30 days. Thank you for listening to this episode of Entree Architect Podcast. My name is Mark R. LePage. Love, learn, and share what you know.
Imagine earning continuing education credits while doing exactly what you're doing right now. Well, you can. Gable Media has revolutionized the way you earn your continuing education credits with a groundbreaking approach. Forget running around town and scouring the internet for credit-worthy courses. Fulfill your CE requirements effortlessly by listening to engaging podcasts just like the one you're listening to now. Our podcasts are designed to educate, entertain, and inspire, all in a user-friendly environment. But wait, there's more. Architects, Gable Media is also approved as an AIA Continuing Education Services provider. Upon completion, we handle everything, from reporting your hours directly to the AIA to storing your certificates in your personal Gable Media profile for your self-reporting needs. So follow the link in the show notes and start earning your credits in the most innovative and entertaining way possible with Gable Media.
Calling all small firm architects, it's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architect's Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast, it's a community where dreams meet action.
There's a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success.